Hi, Judy. I am a compulsive overeater, and I actually put up a little slogan. It said, "Oh, I saved my life," for the poster, because it did. I was thinking about how, we might hear, "Well, we'll be restored back to where we were." There was nothing for me to be restored back to. I ate like the moment I came out of my mother's womb, I think, and fear plagued me. So there was nothing for me to go back to. I had to totally be rebuilt. I came to OA 38 years ago, and by a miracle of God, this past December, I celebrated 13 years. Not a one-hit wonder. I have two, it was like I recovered 5 years, relapsed for 5 years, and I did that in another cycle. And relapse is really hard. I gained back more than I'd lost, no surprise. But I just wanted to show you a picture of this was like the height of my first relapse. I am a over 300 pounder, which is fine. And I just wanted to I don't know why this happened. Anyway. I don't need to show. You can see what I look like now. That's fine. I'm down about, I think, 170 pounds from that top weight where I was at. But I know I was at a higher weight at another point in my life. I thought I'd share a little bit about signs that led me to a relapse, because I worked this like really strong program in my first recovery. I did service. I was a speaker seeker for my home meeting, which I love. I spoke at meetings. I sponsored. I mean, I was so Miss OA. I was a legend in my own mind. I thought I was all that and more. And what happened, though, is I never touched my emotional sobriety one iota. I was still nuts in my head. I was still living a life of total dishonesty, not with the food, but I believe if there are any pockets of dishonesty in your life, eventually it's going to spill over into the food. I was still out of control. I was in a committed relationship, but I was having emotional affairs all over the place. I couldn't stop. I always say people were my second addiction. I was doing sneaky things. And then pride bit me in the ass. They say pride comes before the fall. Well, it was that saying. I was an egomaniac with low self-esteem. I thought I just looked so great, so my defects are running my life. I was living a life of dishonesty, and the food started creeping back in. And I had the biggest spiritual awakening. Huge. I switched religions, but then I just got addicted to religion. My motive for going to church every day was I had a big crush on the priest. I mean, seriously. And I used to sit in the third pew center, and I thought, I'm treating this like a rock concert. So, I wound up leaving that church. I don't go to church anymore. I focus now just on a spiritual life. So I eventually just picked up. I met my husband in OA. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing to be married to another food addict. We relapsed at different times. He never came back to OA, but he somehow, I don't know if he was able to lose weight on his own. And what he eats is none of my business at all. If he wanted OA, I tried to bring him back, but that's none of my concern. So the biggest red flag I will tell you in my first recovery was that I started to look for reasons eating out. Huge red flag. And I will tell you, I hate eating out today. And I always wanted to go to one of the diners that had the big salad bar because I needed the volume back. And it started with the dry vegetables. And then I was negotiating with the fatty salads, saying I'd commit. One spoon of this and one spoon of that. I negotiate with the food I'm going to lose. I also went through a really hard time. My dad got really sick. I was trying to plan a wedding, and my sponsor dropped me because we had truth become best friends, and she said she couldn't sponsor me, but stayed very close to me. So I'll tell you, being sponsorless, not a good idea. And eventually OA just got boring. My sponsor, I had no sponsors left. I was sponsoring a ton of people, and I left. I mean, I put back on 50 pounds before I even acknowledged that I was struggling with my food. And the old crazy thing, if I get up to this weight, I'm definitely going to stop. And then it was this weight, and then it was this weight, and then I just stopped getting weighed. And I remember the confusion, like that picture you saw. For some reason, I thought the big black outfit hid everything. Like, and then when I'd see a picture, I was so confused I could be that big. And it would freak me out for a while, and I went right back to the food. And I remember thinking, all these humiliating experiences would definitely get me abstinent. And I was just writing about it this morning. I remember flying for work. I hadn't flown in a few years. I was 300 pounds or more. And I needed the seatbelt extender. The poor woman next to me, my thigh kept lifting up the arm. And I thought to myself, this is going to do it. This is going to get me abstinent. I was so sure of it. And then I went into the airport and bought something to eat. So I have a disease that cannot be humiliated into putting down the food. I came back a second time, and I worked a really half-assed program. I mean, I was still in my defects. I was still obsessed with people. Really bad. Won't even go how bad it was, but it was still life of dishonesty. And eventually I left, and then I came back because I'd read an article that said if you're going to retire, you should do what you're going to do in your life. And I was retiring early at 55, and so like I don't know, 4 or 5 months before that, I came back to OA because I figured I'd join OA. But the problem was, unlike my first two recoveries, I didn't get abstinent that first meeting, and I could not put down the food. And I really believe that we get abstinent in our sleep. For anybody who's abstinent, because you go to sleep binging and you wake up and you don't even know that it's day one. And that's what happened to me. It was like the day after Christmas night. I thought I was so good. And then I remember everybody left. I emptied the bowls into my stomach, never into the garbage. And but the next morning I woke up and stuck to my online weigh and pay food plan. And it lasted for 3 days. And then I went to an OA meeting, the one meeting I was going to. And I got a sponsor. And as soon as I got a sponsor, everything changed because I just felt that this woman had so much hope in me that I could do it. I would say she was not a good experience, but the truth is I was absent those 2 years I was with her, so I can't complain about it. But I swear I was so scared of her. I think I stayed abstinent out of fear, fear of her. And I remember saying to her, well, I've been through the steps. So if I have to do a little fourth step work, I'll let you know. And, I have this food plan online. It was like she didn't hear me. She's like, okay, tomorrow commit your food and you start your step work. Like, okay. She didn't care how I did it. I didn't get much direction from her. But I remembered it's an outside duo who did a big book study. I don't know if we can mention things like that, so I won't. And I started listening to those big book study tapes that were really good. And I just really started working my program. I started sponsoring early, like when I was done with the seven step. And sponsoring has been a huge part of my recovery. The service that I do is at the meeting level. I used to do it at the intergroup level, my local intergroup. And I've discovered above the meeting level is just not for me, but I give a lot of service at the meeting level. And I feel really good about it. I go to two meetings that I consider both my home groups, the 3 a.m. two-way prayer meeting and the Daily Reprieve 5 a.m. meeting. And what I've discovered is sometimes the best service you could do is to step back so others can step forward. And we have so many amazing, talented people on the 5 a.m. Daily Reprieve meeting who are doing service now. It's just incredible. I work all the tools. I still pick up the phone and make outreach calls. I still text, but I actually make outreach calls. I like to call a lot of newcomers. I have a problem with over-sponsoring and I cut back. So I'm down to five. I was up to 10 and that did make my life unmanageable. And it's very manageable now. But I love OA and, I don't know. This program did save my life. I mean, I live a life today that I don't know. I don't live a life of dishonesty. I don't obsess. If I start to obsess on a person, which might happen, I immediately go to my sponsor. The hardest thing about OA is practicing principles in all my affairs at home. I just got pissed at my husband before over something like really stupid. But what I want to close with is, my life was such a disaster. I forgot how many years ago I actually went to a divorce lawyer to see what it would cost me. Our marriage is better than ever. I have lost so much money in the stock market because I used it as a get rich quick scheme, like a diet. We live in a house beyond my wildest dreams and are financially solvent. Like everything I broke, God has given me back. And I will say that God is the most important fact in my life. I love two-way prayer if nobody's ever tried it. I have 3 seconds left to say, I love you all, even if I don't know you. And you are all part of my OA family. Thanks.